determining the seat of your affections is what we do. Who we are, what motivates us in our actions in life. Now, we might not realize that, but if there's something that you're doing in life or something that's happening that you don't like, then you have to check yourself, which 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says to examine yourself to make sure you're of the faith. So even if you have a habit that you, I hope my eyes ain't too big with these glasses, because y'all can see another way. But we are to examine ourselves and make sure we are in the faith, make sure we are doing things according to the faith in which we believe in Christ Jesus. Then number two, we talked about knowing, and I mean knowing by really not just here, in here, knowing that Jesus will never leave you, he will not abandon you, he will not fail you, he will not leave you without support. He will not leave you helpless. Number three, to remember Romans 12, 1 through 3, where we talked about renewing the mind to the will of God for you, his help, his plan for your life so you will have success in life. Now, if we are facing a problem, a situation, remember we said, let's go back when we're facing that problem. And after we've gotten through it and we've got over the shock of it, then we're going to find out, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? I'm sorry? Yes. I mean, some things in life really does. It kind of sets us back a little bit. And so we have to get our, what is the word they used to use, the old people? We have to get our bearings back, so to speak. Not yet. Not yet. I'm just doing a recap right now. Okay, and so number four, you are born again believer, so you got to remember that Jesus gave you a helper. So he gave you a helper through John 15, 26 and 27, when he talks about the help comes, he sent you help. Acts 1 and 8, where he said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. That power is not just to, even though we in worship, we run around and do things, that power is to be initiated when you are in a situation. That power can be initiated anytime. I don't care where you are, the hospital, the car, the whatever the situation, you can tap into that help of the Holy Spirit. John 16 and 13 said, the Spirit of truth will come and guide you. So we have to be careful that when we're being guided by something, that our guiding comes from the Word of God, because that is what he left us as a guide to operate in this earth once we become born-again believers. Then number five, you have the Word of God as your truth. Let me say this right quick. Anytime you go to a problem or a situation or whatever it is you're looking at, look at more than one scripture. Try to find at least two or three that confirms that and establishes that. Do you know what I mean when I say establish it? That it brings your thought pattern into alignment to say, I'm not just thinking it here, but I know it here now. That's what I mean when I say establishing it. Okay, number five, you have the Word of God as your truth. You got to know the Word is truth. You got to know that it is forever settled in the heavens. You have to know that the Word has been established in Psalms 119, 89, and 90. It has been established. It was not going anywhere, not going to move anywhere. It is what it was from the beginning of time. Then you have to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. And then in Hebrews 13 and 9, do not be misled by error. When you face a problem, find truth in that error. If you feel like you have to go and you have to have counseling, make sure you get what kind of counseling? Godly counseling, which means whatever that counselor or that person tells you needs to line up with the same thing you are reading in the scriptures. Because we can't get off in what we think and we feel. If we get off in what we think and we feel, and we're praying and asking God to do something, he honors his word. So what he honors in my life in a situation is where I'm standing on the word in it, not my feelings. because my feelings may feel like giving up. My feelings may feel like saying stuff I ain't got no business about. My feelings will tell me a whole lot of things. So I want to be established in truth because I want him by his spirit to come and rest upon that word and make it come alive in my life. Does that make sense? Okay, so number six. Last week I gave you a sheet to grow are the things that we needed. So what I'm going to do with that is I'm going to go back to that sheet and I'm going to, the six things were, we need the word of God in Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a what? Yes. Then we have to learn what the word of God says. And second, did y'all bring your papers back? Okay. I do. If somebody needs one, sure. Well, And so then, number two is we need to learn the word of God. 2 Peter 3:18. Then what the point I want to make there again is, and those seven things. I'm going to go through the seven first, and then I'll go back to the other page. We need the word of God, Psalms 119, 105. We need to learn the word of God, 2 Peter 3:18. We need understanding, Proverbs 4 and 7. We need the wisdom of God in James 1 and 5. We need, y'all don't have to write it down because the same thing is on that paper. We need to trust in God, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And we need to obey God, 1 Samuel 15 and 22. And what he is looking for in that obedience is complete obedience, not partial, complete. When God asks you to do something, then you need to pray, you need to hear him clearly, and then you need to execute until it's done. Sometimes, and I'm going to go to Hosea 4 and 6 right quick too as well. Sometimes when we say, when we're dealing with family, I'll use myself, when you're dealing with family, sometimes you feel like, well, if they're family and they ask me for something or they ask me to do something, then I should just automatically do that. But sometimes when people have a repetitive situation where they come, they just do what they want to do or whatever. Sometimes, whether we realize it or not, and I'm just using that as an excuse, sometimes God will tell you no. He'll tell you no. Take your hand from it. And I remember when my kids was teenagers and getting a little bit older, I remember specifically one time, I don't know which one it was, but they had done something I was going to rescue, and I heard the voice of God say, every time I begin to deal with your children, you intervene. Every time. And so within that moment, I took my hands from it. Now, it doesn't feel good because we feel like, you know, God gave them to us and we need to do this and we need to do that. We instruct them in the right path. We don't enable them in the wrong path. And we have to make sure that we understand that even as parents, grandparents, or even helping people. Do not enable them in the wrong path. You give them correct information. You give them right instructions. And then the choice is in their lap whether they choose to do it or not. If they don't choose to do what you ask them to do or what you're instructing them to do, that is their choice. And God will honor their choice because we have free will. He doesn't force us to do anything. Now, what we have to understand is there's a repercussion that comes with your choice. Good, bad, or indifferent, there's still a repercussion there that comes along with it. If you keep rescuing people, they will never learn. You still pray for them. You still pray for them, but do not get over there in their wrongness with them to try to say, you say, well, God loves them. Yes, he does. But God's love is not always patty cake. That's what we don't get. It's not always yes. Sometimes it is, listen, I've told you and I need you to come over here and do what I ask you to do. Now, if you don't want to do what I ask you to do, there's nothing else I can do. Until your heart. Now, what I do think we need to do for those people is to make sure that they have heard the gospel. To make sure that they understand there's a different path that you don't have to be here. there's a different path that you can take. But we have to be careful as believers to not to put our hands to stuff that is taking them in a negative way. Because if you give them money knowing that they're doing drugs and you help them do the drugs, when they die or if something happens, then you think, well, I should have did that. I shouldn't have did that. No, you shouldn't have. But in learning and in life, God, because God is merciful, he's still God. But we still must learn, y'all, where our stopping place is with some things. Where our stopping place is. And so Hosea 4:6 said this. And in that obedience, when you look at Samuel, you'll see a good picture of he disobeyed God, but God didn't put his hand to him. He had a repercussion from it. So Hosea 4:6 said this. And the reason why I'm talking about this is that sometimes we say, well, I made a mistake. Listen to what Hosea 4:6 said. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Why are they destroyed? Why don't they have knowledge? Let's talk about us. Why we don't have knowledge in some areas sometimes? We don't search it out. And then the scriptures tells us to do what? Study. Study to show you. He told us to do that. But what do we do sometimes? We come before God and we just patty cake and pray about it, but we never take ourselves to a place to flip them pages and start learning. And we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility in our walk with God. So we don't want to be destroyed because we don't know. And there's another one when I look back over this. It's not on your sheet. You can write it on the bottom if you want to. But another one when I was looking back over this was humility. We need humility. We talked about it, but I didn't put it on here. We need that humility that 1 Peter 5:6 instructs us to humble ourselves under the hand of God. And we talked about the hand of God in being in Ephesians 4:12-14, being the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, the apostle, and the evangelist. See, the hand of God, and even this, it's another scripture that talks about that, well, it's in that Ephesians 4:12. He gave us these, the hand of God, for the perfecting of the saints. They're not there just in an office. They came to perfect you in a specific area. Now, we are talking about the fivefold ministry that is walking with God, y'all. We're not talking about all this crazy stuff we see. We are talking about the fivefold ministry that you know is living right, doing right, loving people. I mean, that's just with God. You know what I'm saying? We can tell. That's why we don't go over there and we don't listen to any and everything that people say. Remember, we talked about the counseling. We don't listen to all that if it's not lining up with the scripture. And so I added humble because, and let me tell you what the word humble means. The biblical definition means recognizing your dependence on God, having a lowly heart, and living without pride, arrogance, or self-exaltation. It is a posture of the heart that's a submission to God and his people. That's what humbling is. If we are people that do not want to listen, then you will never grow. So we have to make sure that our hearts, even when we hear the word of God, we have to ask God, Lord, help me. Help me to believe what your word said is truth. I used to pray that for myself years ago. Help me, Lord, that what I read, because I don't want to just be reading just to be reading. Help me that when I believe this, let me know that's your truth. Therefore, I can study it to the capacity to get it in here, not in here. When a situation comes, I want to do what you asked me to do about that. I don't want to pop off and get mad or whatever. I want to humble myself, Lord, and do what you asked me to do. Because it is not just about coming to church. And we live in the Bible Belt. And the Bible Belt means that you go to church, whether whatever. But we got to change even our posture of our heart about that. God, I'm coming because I love you. Lord Jesus, I'm coming because I want to learn. I'm coming because I want to be with the body of Christ. You see what I'm saying? So we have to check ourselves. So today, we're going to go back and look at these five things. I need a clock over here.
I didn't even bring my phone.
We're going to go back and look at these five things with this sheet that I gave you last week. Because I think we stopped at, did we get to number four? So we need the word of God. We need to learn the word. We need understanding. So what is understanding to you? Tell me, somebody tell me what understanding is. Yes, he said God gives you enlightenment in your heart. I didn't hear you. How to apply the word. Number four. So I'm going to start at number four. We need the wisdom of God. James 1 and 5 said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, James 1 and 5 is activated and used in our freedom of choice. Remember that. So what does wisdom mean? Wisdom means to refer to the skillful application of knowledge. What kind of application? What's the difference in if I did something skillfully and I just did it? Say that again. But I can't hear them. Say that again. Yes. So wisdom refers to a skillful application. Skillful meaning that I'm going to find everything I know about it. I'm not just going to be doing it. I'm going to do this skillfully. Just like you have, I read a devotional the other day about a guy that is, he was a builder. And so he told a man he was working for, he said, I'm going to the next project we have. He said, I'm going to let you build the house. I'm going to let you be the overseer. So the man came in and he built the house. But when he went to build the house, he said, well, why should I? Now, he didn't build it really according to the one that taught him. He said, well, why should I spend more money for this lumber? Let me find the cheapest lumber, the cheapest this and the cheapest that. So he built a house. His supervisor came in and said, you did a wonderful job building the house. He said, it looks good. And he thought in his mind, when I cover this material with paint or whatever, then nobody will know the difference. And so then the man said to him, he said, you did a wonderful job. He said, so this house, the house that you built is really yours. I built it for you. You can have, this is for you. And he said he laid in the house and he had leaks. He had this and he had that. And he said in his mind, he thought, why didn't I just do it the right way? See, that's skillful. But he thought, okay, this is for somebody else. So how many times do we kind of try to build our own houses and we come up, we be leaking, air coming through the walls and everything else. So what we want to do is build according to the master. We want to build according to his plan. Yes, so that when we get in our house, we ain't got no leaks and no this and that. Miss Lynn, was you going to say something? I didn't hear. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Lord, I want to do it. Yes. I want to do it your way. It is moral insight and the ability to make righteous decisions. It is considered the principal thing, meaning it's the foundation for a successful and godly life. So had the builder built the house when the man told him to build, if it had been the principal thing, the important thing to him, he would have built that with the right material. He wouldn't have tried to sidetrack. But then he ended up having to deal with what he didn't do. Okay, number five, we need to trust God. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. How much of your heart? And lean not unto thine own understanding. Who's understanding? And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So right there, we have it again, that whatever we go through, God is with us. We have to trust him. Now, how are you going to get trust? How do we get trust? But tell me how we get it. What am I getting my trust from? Yeah, but what? How do I get my trust? Where my trust coming from? It's easy. The word of God. So that's why you got to build from. Again, I keep saying that because sometimes, y'all, we get off because we're saying, well, so-and-so told me so-and-so. If so-and-so told you that, then it need to line up with what the word said. If it does not line up with what the word of God said, God is not bound to come and make it happen. He does not have to come and make it happen. He does not have to take his spirit and rest upon it. Because that's how we get results. We put the word in us, and then we are asking and hoping and really knowing that, okay, Lord, if I do it this way, I'm going to put my word in you, but I'm gonna bank on your spirit to come and illuminate that in me to give me understanding so that I can now walk this out. And long as I know, Lord, that you're with me, I can keep making it. But if I get to a hard place, and that's another thing that I had to learn. When you get to a hard place, if you prayed and prayed and prayed and can't get out, and you be like, Lord, what is wrong? What is going on? Something ain't clicking. Go back on them knees and check yourself. Say, I'm missing something. What am I missing? Because this is not going like it should go. So, Lord, what have I left out? Or what have I put in that I didn't need to put in? But I'm missing something. Sometimes we don't stop and think. But listen, this is our walk. This is your walk. So you have to take it personally. Okay, now we need obedience. Number 6, we need obedience. And that's the second, 1 Samuel 15 and 22. Okay, so, and then the humility that I added. So now I'm going to go to where we're supposed to be this week, and we're going to talk about the process. So when we talked about all this stuff, it sounds good. It's wonderful. So what is the process of how I get here? The process of spiritual growth, walking with God through life, and it is a walk. It is step by step. It is a journey. When do you come to the end of the journey?
No, you don't. You're always learning.
Well, you come to the end for us, and that's when we lay this flesh down. That's when we're at the end. But until then, we walk with him day by day, moment by moment, through whatever situation comes, because all of us don't have the same journey. We reach the same destination. But we don't have the same journey. And I think that is because God knows what it takes to get you where you need to be. And only he knows. The process means to refer to the unfolding of God's plan, his spiritual growth, and the gradual transformation of believers into his image, the Christ-likeness, through his guidance and timing. Can you speed up the process? We talk about the process now. We're talking about the walk and the journey. So can you speed it up? She's talked about two different things there. Did you catch that? So we can speed up the process of growing. We can't speed up what happens in life. My time, I can't speed up my time. I can't take away, I can't add to it because it's not in my hands to do that. If it was, then I would become God. So I can speed up my process of learning in the journey and finding out what I need to do. But my trust coming through me learning what the scriptures say and putting that on. But I can't speed up. I don't know what I'm going to go through. I don't know how many years I'm going to live. I can't tamper with none of that stuff. The only thing I can control is in that time of whatever I go through, I default back to God every time. I train myself to default back to Him every time by saying, what do you want me to do? And then I choose to listen to Him or not listen to Him. Mr. Ed.
Out of Egypt, and we've been brought out of our slavery to sin. Then the middle part is all that wandering.
Yes.
And then at the end, you wind up going into the promised land. So there's a lot of imagery, a lot of symbolism of those Israelites walking through that wilderness is really what you're talking about. And God led them through that wilderness.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that wilderness experience, he was there with them, you know, in the cloud, pillar of fire and smoke, and he was leading them on. You know, there's a lot of rich symbolism and imagery in the Bible there. It's exactly what you're talking about. And the reason to learn, how are we going to follow him and be faithful?
Yes.
And grow. And it's so wonderful that he's with us
every step of the way. And his grace and his mercy is there every step of the way. And this is what I want you to remember, because I don't want you to give up. You know, man will say that, oh, that's impossible. Oh, that's this. You keep walking with God. Oh, if I had you, I'd give up. If I was you, I'd quit. No, you keep walking with God. I don't care if you ain't got but an inch in you to believe. And then you hook up with somebody else. That's why God gave you the body. Because when I get weak, I need to reach out and say, you know what, Ms. PJ, I'm having it rough right now. Ms. PJ, this is where I'm at. And allow her to pour in strength to me again, of course, by the Spirit, because God's using us. We're the body. We're the body. And so we have to reach out and ask for help. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Spend some time. Yes. Yeah. And I know it seemed like okay, Jeff, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, knowledge can pop up.
Mm-hmm.
When my brother Andrew practicing the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I don't know. It's like getting to know somebody who's been married 30 years.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what they like, what they're dislike are, how they like their coffee made. You know a lot of different things about them. So you get sensitive when you practice.
Yes, that's good.
And that's what Brother Andrew did in that practice and presence of God. So that, I think, is real key. It's just spending time.
And not beating yourself up if you feel like sometimes we compare ourselves to somebody else. Don't compare yourself to nobody. Just keep growing. Just keep praying. Just keep asking God for help. Don't compare yourself to someone else because you don't know what their story is and you don't know why they got or how they got where they are. Sometimes you think you want what a person has until you find out how they got it. And you'd be like, no, you keep that. You keep that. So we have to be careful. Don't compare yourselves. Stay on the journey with God. Don't compare yourselves. The process is a divinely orchestrated journey. That is a God-designed journey. It is a God-designed journey. It includes surrounding, encircling, and enveloping, symbolizing God's protection, presence, and his completeness in the work that he does in us. There's a scripture that comes to my mind where it talks about, I got up it this morning, that was on my mind and I didn't write it down. But it talks about God has begun a good work in us. Will somebody find that for me? What the scripture that talks about God has done a good work in us. Okay, so number two, it takes time to grow in faith and obedience to his word. Be aware we have a battle, which is our soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. And I'm going to tap back into something Jeff said when he talked about we can be worldly educated, and that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Get all you can get and can out. They used to say, get all you can and can all you can get. But when it comes to the things of God and spiritual things, that natural degree sometimes is a totally different area. We think, okay, I know because I'm educated. And so then when a problem comes, we are so quick to say, well, I already know that. You might know the surface of it. But then we need to, don't ever feel like because I'm naturally educated, I don't have to tap into God, that I don't have to pray. I just have my own knowledge, because that'll take you some places. Like Jeff, let's not get arrogant. Let's stay humble under God's hand. Keep on moving to get whatever area you want to be educated in, but just know that's subject to the Spirit of God when it comes to spiritual things. Yes. 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 Yeah, and that's a good example of what we just talked about a minute ago. When we talked about if there's something not clicking or not happening quick enough, go back and ask God, okay, what is it? Did y'all hear what Mr. Jim said when he talked about he had an accident and he lived out in the woods, and in the accident he was wanting a buyer. He kept praying and praying and asked God to send him a buyer. But then when he went back, say that again, Mr. Jim, when you went back, so you kind of changed your prayer. So he went back and asked God to relieve him of the burden, and how was he going to do that? And he said that's when things clicked. And then what he needed came to pass. Okay, so number one was walking with God in the process. Number two is the spiritual. Let me go back to this. It takes time to grow in faith and obedience to his word. I want you to be aware that you have a battle with the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions and desires, a war between the flesh and the spirit. But remember, Psalms 119 and 89 declares that God's word is eternal, it is unchanging, and it is firmly established in the heavens. So his word is forever settled, doesn't change. We just have to, like Mr. Jim, find what is it that I'm missing or including or not including? Number two, in the process, you have spiritual growth and sanctification, which talks about the Bible represents the process of spiritual growing on the journey of transformation, where believers are gradually shaped into the likeness of Christ, the process known as sanctification, that's part of the process. Philippians 1 and 6 says, emphasizes this divine work, being confident in this, and he who began a good work, there it is, and he who began a good work in you will continue to perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. So do not give up. How do he perfect us? Through the trials, the challenges, the daily obediences, the believers develop patience, faith, and perseverance, learning to trust God's timing and plan. Same thing Mr. Jim was talking about. Romans 8 and 28 and Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Then number three, God's divine plan and historical process. Mr. Ed just talked about that, of how the story of the children out there in the wilderness. Okay, so number four, trust the process. Trust the process. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I know the plans that I have for you. Then Isaiah 40 and 31. Remind believers that God's timing is perfect and that hope, patience, and faith are essential during periods of waiting and growth. Number five, your trials and transformations. Again, you're going to go through things. So in this process, y'all, we are going to trust God. We're going to embrace the journey. We're going to grow through the challenges. We're not going to give up in the challenges. We're going to grow through the challenges. We're going to seek guidance, and then we're going to have a fullness of life. All right, let's go to John. Everybody go to John 14 and 6. I am going to... The verse I want you to really look at in that is going to be verse 6. I'm going to read from John 1 to down to 5. John 14 and 6 said this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's going to prepare a place and will come back and receive us unto him. And whether I go and the way ye know. Thomas said unto the Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Did you see that as a question? How can we know the way? How can we know the way? Listen to what verse 6 says. Let's read it together out loud. Verse 6. I know y'all got different translations, but let's read it out loud, verse 6 together. So the basis of all of this 4 weeks is Jesus said, I am, he said unto him. Now Jesus said that, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said this, he's the first and the last. He said, I am the way, I'm the only path and the only route you can get to get to God. No man coming to the Father but by me. Number two, he said, I am the truth. And he is the ultimate reality and revelation of God, the very nature of God's word and character. He is truth. If you want to look at another one, you can look at John 14 and 4 and 7. I'm sorry, John 4 and 17. Even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Who cannot see the truth? Because it seeth him not. They can't see him. The world can't see him like we see him. Because they don't have him. They don't have him in us like we do. I'm sorry? Yes. Yes. Have you ever thought to yourself, why is it when I wasn't saved, I did so-and-so, and now I look at it in a different light? Have you ever thought about that? I wasn't thinking then. My eyes, I couldn't have saw it if I wanted to see it. But now, the same thing, you see it in a different light. And that's because light has come and brought us out of that darkness. Miss Kim? Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Did y'all hear what she said? It is the good days and the bad days. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We have the spirit of truth. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and he dwelleth within you and shall be in you. What does shall mean? Shall is not might. It is not maybe. It shall happen. If he says this is going to happen, it shall happen in his timing. It's not, well, you know, we're wondering, what is it going to come to pass? Is it going to happen? Shall, surely, is a good word, surely. And then, now listen to what truth is. Okay. Oh, okay. Truth is not an, y'all would tell me on the fourth Sunday. Truth is not an abstract set of ideas. It is living, breathing, crucified, and risen. What do you think about when I say that? One word. Jesus. It is not an abstract set of ideas. It is living, it is breathing, it is crucified and risen. John 1 and 4 and John 8 and 13. Because he is truth. I heard it, Miss PJ. Because he is truth, everything he teaches is totally reliable. Matthew 24 and 35. So therefore, the lies, the half-truths, the shifting culture, which we're living in right now, narratives, they collapse under the weight of his unchanging word. Psalms 119, 160. Then lastly, he said, I am the life. I am the source of eternal and spiritual life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus alone is the mediator. Nobody else. Nobody else. Jesus alone is the mediator. So that's just chapter 14. Okay, so I'm finished. I hope and I pray that something I said over these last 4 weeks has helped you. Anybody got a question? I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 That's a good book we pull from. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're welcome, Mr. Jim. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, because it wasn't coming quick enough. Yes. And that's our source. That's where we got to get to, is where we just trust God. Anybody, any more questions, any more comments? Y'all good? Everybody good? Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this class. I thank you, Lord, for every single person that's in here. And Father, we ask you to come and to illuminate your word in us, Father, so that whatever we face, that we know that we are not alone, that you are with us, that you are our help. Father, we just ask you to help us to humble ourselves, even as we read your word under your hand, by your spirit, that will change our personal lives, it'll change our marriages, It'll change our children. It'll change everything that is a part of us living if we will allow it. Now, Father, help us to trust your word. Help us that when we read your word, that we have faith and we believe, God, this is your truth. And God, we believe it just because you said it. Father, I thank you and I praise you. And as we leave this place, Lord, and we enter into worship and the service, God, be with us. But Lord, do not let this word leave us. Do not let this lesson leave us. And let us always remember that we are not alone. You are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you.